There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday. We are packed. A weekend of exhibition football. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, plenty of both. Everybody's wrapping up their summer vacations. Jason McIntyre is in all week long. He just got back from Maui. The family, I'm sure your kids love Maui.
They did indeed. It was outstanding. The only bad news was the Jets are falling apart on me, Colin. Gosh, what is going on there?
Well, it's early. It's customary. They'll be fine. It's only 2 to 4 weeks. So let's start. Packers play the Niners. And I'm not going to break down the game, but something is very obvious to me. Trey Lance, who from an FCS program, already looks better than Jordan Love, who's been there 3 years. And I don't know how good Trey Lance is going to be. I thought he showed some pocket awareness. He had a big play. And I don't know what Jordan Love's going to be, but 3 years in, I don't see the growth. But here's what I know. Kyle Shanahan, over and over and over and over and over, if you give Kyle Shanahan third-round guys, fifth-round guys, sixth-round guys, they become stars really fast. Elijah Mitchell, running back, sixth-round, pow. Danny Gray, I watched him this weekend. Third round, pow. Trey Lance looked pretty good to me. Brandon Ayuk, second year, emerging star at receiver. Deebo Samuel, second round, star. George Kittle, fifth round, star. Offensive line, they found another guy apparently. Year after year, player after player, offense after offense, quarterback after quarterback, Kyle Shanahan creates an identity and guys pop. You just give him the pieces. They can be in the fifth and sixth round. He'll make them into stars. Let me ask you. Let's talk Green Bay and Matt LaFleur. Year three, first round pick Jordan Love. I don't see it. Offensive line last year for Green Bay and Matt LaFleur. Ranked 14th, the lowest in years. They haven't developed a number two wide receiver. I'd argue they don't have a number three wide receiver. They had to go get Sammy Watkins. Again, Just because you're given Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and David Bakhtiari does not mean you're a great coach. I have watched San Francisco work Green Bay in the last couple of years. I have watched Matt LaFleur's offense, and he's an offensive guy, and he had the back-to-back MVP. I have watched Matt LaFleur and Green Bay melt down at home, second half, fourth quarter, back-to-back years. I always feel like Kyle Shanahan's taking six-rounders and third-rounders and Jimmy Garoppolo and, like, elevating them to a place they probably don't deserve. So what's the identity? Do you know, since Matt LaFleur showed up with Aaron Rodgers, with Devontae Adams, with David Bakhtiari, and better-than-average O-lines, do you know what their offense ranks in the NFL? 13th. I'm watching Jordan Love, and I'm like, I'm 3 years in, folks. I still don't like his accuracy, and I don't like his judgment. He had one really bad pick. I don't see the wide receiver. I hear they drafted a good one. All right, develop him. That's the front office. Develop him. I mean, Elijah Mitchell's a six-round pick. That guy, when he's healthy, he's a dog for San Francisco. Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, offensive linemen, they all work. They all work in San Francisco. I mean, here's another guy. So Shanahan, LaFleur, and Sean McVay are considered, you know, the three guys, right? The three young guys. Sean McVay turned Cooper Kupp, a third rounder, into the NFL's most productive wide receiver ever. He got Jared Goff to a Super Bowl, and he has built a culture in Los Angeles where everybody wants to play there. OBJ wants to play there. Matt Stafford picked it. By the way, he saved OBJ. OBJ's career was on the rocks. He goes to Sean McVay, overnight pops. So, I mean, congrats on beating the Lions, the Bears, and Minnesota, but they've all fired coaches since Matt LaFleur got there. And I'm not anti-Matt LaFleur, but Shanahan, McVay, and LaFleur, they all take over teams. The Niners were a mess when Shanahan got there. They're not a mess anymore. The Rams were an absolute mess when Sean McVay got there. He's got two Super Bowl trips. And Green Bay was rolling. I mean, let's be honest. McCarthy's last year stunk. But by and large, Favre and Aaron Rodgers have been like the Rolls Royce, you know, in the NFC of quarterbacks. And I look at Green Bay right now, and I'm like, what are they? I don't see it with Jordan Love. Do you see it with Jordan Love? I mean, I watched Trey Lance. I'm like, all right, he's a lot better than he was last year. Now, he only had, you know, his second series was his best, but he had a really good pocket awareness. Forget just the throw up the sideline. I thought he looked really comfortable. Jordan Love, I still don't feel that. Here was LaFleur after talking about his young quarterback.
We just got to clean up everything around him. A lot of times, we say it all the time about quarterbacks. They're going to get too much credit when we do well, and they're going to get a lot of the blame when we don't. And that's just the reality of playing that position in this league. But I was pleased with Jordan's performance.
All right, let's move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, my feeling is they have the fourth best quarterback in their division. Deshaun Watson, whether he plays or not, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson are all really good quarterbacks. Different styles, but they're all really, really talented. And Kenny Pickett has got to beat out Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph. And if it's close, I'd go with Kenny Pickett. Trubisky's fine. He's a bridge quarterback. But I watched Kenny Pickett, and I got to be honest. He looked composed. He was in control. He was comfortable. And I watched Daniel Jones of the Giants, and I still feel he looks nervous. He looks anxious. So I still don't think Jordan Love is that accurate. I thought Kenny Pickett, I got to be honest, had you never heard of Kenny Pickett, and that was the first time you ever watched him play, you'd have no idea that was his first time in the NFL. Now, he played in this stadium in college, and he got a bunch of starts. He got a lot of starts in college, so maybe that's part of it. But, I mean, he may have a very low ceiling, but so does Trubisky, and so does Mason Rudolph. So, and I will say, I mean, has there ever been an organization, I swear to God, the Pittsburgh Steelers draft wide receiver better than everybody? I mean, New England can't draft it to save their life. I always feel like the Colts need two or three more receivers. They got George Pickens, Pickett, who looks like a star, and Tyler Vaughn from USC. He may make the team. He had a game-winning touchdown. But I watched Kenny Pickett, and I'm like, this is why quarterback is hard to figure out. He looked really comfortable.
and he looked really poised. And he got that ball with about a minute 40 left, and he drove down the field. And I'm like, is it because he got a bunch of college starts, and that's the stadium he played in? And, you know, he's been in the stadium. It's his city. He knows it well. He knows the ways around town. That could absolutely be it. And Pittsburgh does an unbelievable job. But starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers and getting your first action, Mike Tomlin is an intimidating presence. You can't deny that. Mike is a big, intimidating presence. The Steelers are one of the great brands in the NFL. The fans were going crazy. It felt like a regular season game. And I thought, I watched Kenny Pickett, and I was like, I don't really see the it quality there. But I was like, all right, that's pretty good. That's pretty comfortable. Sometimes when you watch these young quarterbacks, the thing I really look for, do they look like they belong? I mean, you're not going to be able to tell for a lot of guys, right? Like some guys short, some guys run. Do they feel like they belong? And I looked at Kenny Pickett, and I'm like, well, he's got a low ceiling maybe, but he felt like he did. So that's good news for Pittsburgh. Now, do I think in his rookie year he'd be better than Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson? No, and he may never be. But, boy, I'm looking at Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky, and Kenny Pickett. I got to be honest with you. They may all have a low ceiling. I'm not sure I wouldn't go with a kid. I mean, it's one sample. But I don't know. You saw it. I saw it. Easy thrower, comfortable, accurate, a lot of college starts. I think I might roll with him. I really do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio app.
One of the reasons I've supported Steph Curry for years, and he's probably after Magic Johnson, the most important and the greatest point guard of all time. I like Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton, Chris Paul, but it's Magic and Steph Curry. complete game changers, total outliers. Point guards were always like distributors first, and then there was Steph Curry. But Steph Curry isn't cool because Steph Curry cares about winning. He's married. He's got kids. He had shoes that looked like something a pharmacist would wear. So Steph Curry isn't cool, and he never gets respect. He's been dominating the rest of you guys in this league for 13 years, embarrassing you. Westbrook can't shoot. Curry's the greatest shooter ever. Players forever loved Westbrook because Steph's not concerned with being cool. So the NFL Network has their top 100 players, and it's voted on by players, and they've got Russell Wilson behind Kyler Murray. On what planet would that be possible? Here's some of their rankings. They have Kirk Cousins, 99. He's not cool either. He often thanks God. Derek Carr, only 65th. Okay. Russell Wilson, again, Derek and Russell have great religious conviction, always elevating others. And I like Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray's ahead of Russell Wilson and Derek Carr. Okay. That's what, again, Ja Morant's been in the NBA an hour. Players love him. And I love Ja Morant. But he's cool. He's got style. Players loved Cam Newton. He was shot at 32. Never had back-to-back winning seasons. But Cam had style. He was cool. Cam Newton was not accurate throwing a football. Was done by 32. Brady is still a near MVP at 45. 45 years old. 13 years. And so Kyler Murray never gotten a season without getting hurt. One playoff game, it was a disaster. Never been better at the end of the season than at the beginning, which is kind of the opposite of like the great coaches or the great players. And I like Kyler Murray a lot. I am the biggest Kyler Murray advocate. I defended him when that addendum came out in his contract. But this is the classic example of Russell Wilson is optimistic and he's religious and he's kind of hopeful. Go Hawks, go Broncos. And for a lot of players, that's too much the shield that you're selling out. That's a little too much for me. You know what I like? He wins a lot and gets you into the playoffs a lot and carried the Seahawks' lousy defense the last 3 years a lot. And now maybe this is just how players consume sports because players are playing and they don't watch the game, so they just see highlights. And maybe Kyler's highlights are cooler than Russell Wilson's, although I think Russell Wilson's highlights are top 10 of my life. But when I see this players list, this goes back to why, as great as LeBron James is, and LeBron's great, he wanted Westbrook with the Lakers. How'd that work out? He wanted Shabazz Napier in Miami. Let coaches coach. Let GMs GM. Let players play. LeBron knows basketball as much as any player in my lifetime. He has got an absolute sixth sense for basketball. He wanted Westbrook. Okay? And that's nothing against Russell, but it doesn't work. Okay? And when LeBron was in Miami, he wanted Shabazz Napier, and Pat Riley didn't, and that didn't work. So it's... players vote, and I am as big an advocate as Kyler Murray has in the American media. The media dumped on him when that addendum came out about needing more practice, and I was like, I don't know. Looks like he watches tape to me. Looks like he's good to me. I mean, I love him. I think he throws the prettiest ball in the league. I literally think he throws the prettiest football in the league. But come on, over Russell Wilson? Two Super Bowls? Carrying battle lines? Bad defenses in the last 3 or 4 years in Seattle. Come on now. Come on, players. There's nothing wrong with being cool. I've never been cool, so I don't have much to compare it to. Like, I'm not a cool guy, so maybe I need to be cooler. But, man, players put a lot on cool. I like to put a lot on winning. Winning's big for me in all sports.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests we're gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fleur stuff is that basically Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur and McVay were seen. They were all at Washington at one point. And I'm like, okay, McVay's a home run. Shanahan's a triple. LaFleur's winning a bunch of games, but he also inherited Aaron Rodgers and a terrible division that's getting worse. Whereas McVay and Shanahan have to play in a great division. It matters, context. So, and it's like, I'm not saying Matt LaFleur can't coach, but it's interesting. If you go look at Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, fifth rounder, they picked up Trey Smith, an offensive lineman, fell to the sixth round. He started as a rookie. Travis Kelce, third round. There's a lot of later round guys. Creed Humphrey's now the best center many believe in football. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders that Andy Reid gets from his GM and makes them stars. If you look at Sean Payton, it's unbelievable. I remember when he drafted Alvin Kamara, everybody was like, ah, that's a terrible draft pick by the Saints. Alvin Kamara became a star. Jimmy Graham, third round. Marquise Colston was a seventh rounder. Michael Thomas became like Cooper Kupp, second rounder. Taysom Hill could play undrafted. So again, Sean Payton got later round guy. Teron Armstead is the second best tackle in the game. He was a third round pick. So all you did with Sean Payton, who, by the way, when he was with New Orleans, last 5-6 years, they were the number one offense in the league. And with later round picks. If you go look at Kyle Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan's done the exact same thing. Is that Elijah Mitchell, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, not just good players, like he makes them into stars later round picks and fast. Sean McVay has done the same thing. These offensive guys, they don't need, I mean, the Rams never have a first rounder. Cooper Kupp, now their left tackle's a third rounder. Cam Akers, Van Jefferson, these are second, third round guys. They become hugely important guys. And my takeaway is, so Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Kyle Shanahan, and it should be noted, McVay, basically OBJ's career was in peril. McVay also handpicked Andrew Whitworth. He went to Les Snead and then, like, get me that left tackle. Whitworth, who nobody watched play, became a star in Los Angeles. So my knock is on, so now let's go to Matt LaFleur. Find me all the guys in 3 and 4 years. Jordan Love was a first-round quarterback. I don't see the growth. He inherited David Bakhtiari. He inherited Devontae Adams. He inherited Aaron Rodgers. And LaFleur plays in a terrible division. So, I mean, the only guy I can think of, the tight end for them, who was there 2 years before Matt LaFleur, Robert, is it Tanyan? He's had one decent year. He gets into the end zone. Some of that is Mercedes Lewis, more of a blocking tight end. Aaron's looking for a tight end in the end zone. Kid's done a good job. But I do think it matters. If you're an offensive coach, if you look at the Paytons and the Reeds and the Shanahans and the Sean McVays, you draft them guys second, third, fourth, fifth, and they become, especially third, fourth, fifth, sixth, they become stars and fast. And with LaFleur, my takeaway is he just inherited a bunch of good players and a lousy division, and I've watched this offense melt down the last 2 years at home in the fourth quarter, like melt down. And so it doesn't mean he can't coach, but I think a lot of times, you know, I saw what McVay inherited with Jeff Fisher. The offense was a disaster. Shanahan inherited a mess. Those are good offenses. I mean, I watched the Niners this weekend. They're really good. They don't miss on a lot of offensive picks. If this Danny Gray can play, they got three explosive wide receivers. Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, well, I mean, Kittle, who doesn't not going to play much in the preseason, he's a monster. And now Danny Gray. It's like they don't miss. And they figure out, they find these guys in later rounds and they pop. And I'll say this about Trey Lance. He missed a throw he should have hit. And that, I don't think Trey's ever going to be a beautiful thrower of the football. I don't think he throws a great ball. Accuracy, can he get to 62.5%? But he's explosive and you can see the star. You can see it. You look at his pocket presence. Some of that Shanahan, he looked very comfortable, could feel pressure. So you can see, I don't think Trey's a terribly accurate thrower. I think the even stuff that looks, this ball's a little low, the one you saw preceding that was a little bit high, but he has a feel for it. I've yet to see that with Jordan Love. So a lot of stuff today. Around the corner, Albert Breer's going to join us. I will say this. You know, you have to, when it comes to preseason stuff, I look for individual players. You know, you look for a third, fourth round guy pops. I mean, Lance McCutcheon for the Rams, an undrafted free agent wide receiver. I watched him and I thought, boy, Rams did it again. They found another gem late in a round or undrafted. But maybe that's just Sean McVay. So I didn't even mention that with McVay. This Lance McCutcheon's an undrafted receiver from Montana State. It looks like they found another wide receiver out of the first round. Of course, McVay never gets first round picks.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcasts from.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Where Colin was right.
I don't get the Jordan Love thing. Now, people say, yeah, he had three interceptions, but the first two weren't his fault. He was 13 of 24 against backups in year three. His third pick, unopened Amari Rodgers, was a bad throw. I guess he looked a little more comfortable, I guess. But I don't think he's a terribly accurate thrower of the football. It's year three. He has an offensive coach. You know, he's got a good running game. This is a bad division, non-chaos. And I don't know. I don't see it. I've never seen it. And it's a long time. It's 3 years now. I got a lot of reps at practice, and I just don't see it.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I've been critical of Trey Lance from practice reports, and I still don't throw. I don't think he's a beautiful thrower of the football, but he had good pocket presence. He delivered a strike down the sideline to Danny Gray. He moves very well, and he looked confident. I think a lot of it for him, because this is a really good roster with a lot of good pieces, and wait till George Kittle gives him six or seven open, you know, catches on a Sunday. I think he's going to succeed. I've been saying this. I don't think he'll ever be a 68% completion percentage guy, but I do think when I watched him, I thought he was under control, and I think he has a sense of the pocket. He doesn't look anxious to me. He plays with confidence, and there you go.
Where Colin was right.
17 penalties for Mike McCarthy. I think most troubling, 11 were on offense. The average in preseason is 6.5. So, yeah, I'm not going to beat you up for too many penalties. Sometimes when you get defensive penalties, a late hit, I get it. You want to play defensively aggressive. But, I mean, when they're getting double the penalties on offense that teams are averaging as a whole, that's not good. I don't think Mike's great at the podium. I don't think he's good with clock management. Too often I watch Dallas, and I don't think, especially in the NFC, where you got Shanahan and you got McVay, a lot of sharp guys out there in this league, and I don't know. I just don't ever feel they're brilliantly coached.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I thought Baker Mayfield would eventually take over the starting job in Carolina by week 3 or 4, but he got the start this weekend. He and Darnold both played fine. But it looks like he's already beat him out, and I thought it would take a while. The one thing Baker's got a reputation for is that he's good on the whiteboard. He learns stuff quickly. He can pick up an offense, and some of that's he came from a great college with a great offensive coach. But if he's already beat out Sam Darnold, then I am officially wrong on that one.
Where Colin was right.
But I've been saying this since Brady left. It feels like, as the NFL pivots to offense, New England's out of touch and a little zoned out. Multiple reports last week that Mac Jones has regressed. He is frustrated. Well, why wouldn't he be? They use a defensive coordinator to call plays. And, I mean, Bill Belichick's smart, but his history is defense. It's not drafting. They don't do that well, and he hasn't drafted offense well. And by losing Dante Scarnecchia and Josh McDaniels, you know, those are the best O-line coach and the best coordinator, arguably, in the league. And I think Bill is kind of doing the Greg Popovich, where his system and his way is trumping everything else. And the reports are Mac Jones is struggling.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I've said this about the Rams. We always talk about their stars. But what they do really well is draft and develop well. 15 of their starters they've drafted. Did you watch them Saturday? They found another gem in wide receiver Lance McCutcheon, undrafted, Montana State. Looks like the dude can play. Had a couple of different touchdowns. Sean McVay said after, he's been great in camp. How this guy went undrafted, I'll never know. But the Rams continue to do this, is find guys in later rounds, find guys that are undrafted, and they play key positions. It'll be interesting to watch because it's, you know, with the OBJ situation, do they want to pay OBJ for a contract, or did they find, along with Allen Robinson and Van Jefferson and Cooper Kupp, did they find another gem in Lance McCutcheon? Either way, we've seen the Rams do this over and over. They draft really well.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't know what to make of Kenny Pickett. I don't see the it. I didn't see it in college. He is an easy thrower, but I thought he looked pretty good. And as Albert Breer said, his reputation in college, he wasn't a great practice player, but he was good on game day. And I thought he was accurate, composed. Tyler Vaughn's late in the game. He looked pretty good. He showed poise. Maybe his it is poise, but, and now he's 24 years old. So the kid got a lot of starts in college. So, you know, he's experienced. Kids played a lot of football, high school and college. And this is the same stadium he played in college. So maybe the comfort is part of it, but I don't know. You know, you watched him. I watched him. If you watched this game, I thought he was pretty good.
Where Colin was right.
LeBron, his agent, the Laker GM and new coach had a meeting. And LeBron, the meeting got leaked to Chris Hayes. And the four things that came out of the meeting appear to be shots at Westbrook. Better cohesion, less selfishness, adapt to new roles, and the offense will run through Anthony Davis. It's pretty clear the Lakers wanted that out. As we always say, stuff gets out when people want it out. And I have never bought into this. LeBron is tight with Westbrook. LeBron left D. Wade, one of his best friends. You think he's going to be loyal to Westbrook? It ain't working. LeBron knows it, and he's making sure this stuff gets out.
Where Colin was right.
I know Steve Sarkisian has a lot of critics, but they landed the number one running back in the country, Cedric Baxter, committed to the Longhorns. That following Arch Manning, the first or second best quarterback in the country from the South, he committed to the Longhorns. Steve had some personal issues. It unraveled at USC, but he was great in the NFL as a coordinator. He won the award for the best coordinator in college football with Nick Saban. I thought it was an excellent hire by Texas. Now, again, he took over a bit of a mess. He's got to clean it up. Is it okay if we're patient for a few years with these guys? Dabo Swinney did not win in his first 3 years at Clemson, but Sark recruiting, he did this at USC, excellent with young players. He recruits and develops very well. And Texas, at least in recruiting, is officially back, and I'm here to say I love it. You know what I always say, USC, Texas, Miami. College football needs glamour. Not just small towns. They need some glamour programs. So I will forever be a Longhorn fan. I think they're great for college football.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I will say this, the Cowboys 17 penalties based on last year, and they had a ton of penalties by a long shot. Two things are happening. The NFL, first of all, is getting smarter. I mean, you go back to the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, and, you know, the game a lot of times was not, it was all physicality. It wasn't nearly as refined or as smart. There's just really good coaching. It's really smart coaching. Really creative coaching. And so that's happening. The league is getting smarter really fast. And the second thing is you can't win in this league because of that with like a second tier coach. I think they get exposed. I think years ago, you could hang around 12, 15 years ago in the NFL, be okay, and kind of survive for a while. I think Mike McCarthy is a C coach, and I think he got exposed last year multiple times, and I think they look like they're getting exposed in the preseason. The other thing to worry about is the NFL is obviously kind of pivoting quickly to offense. And whereas the Cowboys, 2-3 years ago, I thought they had the best offensive line in the league, well, and I thought they had really good weapons a couple years ago. I think outside of Zach Martin, who gives you 16, 17 great weeks? Tyron Smith doesn't. They lost their right tackle. 2 years ago, they had, you know, if you start to look a couple years ago, they had Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson and Dalton Schultz and Michael Gallup was healthy. And Amari Cooper and an emerging Tony Pollard. Well, now Gallup tore his ACL and Cedric Wilson, how good is he? Well, I don't know, but he's not there anymore. And I think he's a very good three. And Amari Cooper's your best route runner and he's gone. Dalton Schultz is still there, but I just don't feel like as the league moves to offense, I don't think McCarthy's an elite offensive coach, and I don't think they have the O-line and the weapons. And it's funny because I'm watching a lot of these teams this weekend. I'm watching San Francisco play, and it's just they just keep drafting guys, and they have a coach that keeps elevating everybody. And I watched the Rams, and they found another wide receiver and another, you know, undrafted guy and a seventh-round defensive end, and they just keep stacking it, and I think they elevate people. And I watched Dallas, and I'm like, Micah Parsons is talented. CeeDee Lamb is talented. Are they being elevated? Are they being surrounded by great players? I don't see it. I think if CeeDee Lamb got hurt, it's a bottom five wide receiver group in the NFL. McCarthy talked about a incredible 17 penalties, insane, a very sloppy preseason debut.
The penalties clearly are way too much. So, you know, we'll look at those and keep going, you know, keep going through it as far as the combative versus discipline. So, I mean, that's clearly the biggest negative. But I'm actually excited to watch the tape. I think, you know, really last year as far as trying to establish a play style and an identity, you know, it took us a while to get to that. And, you know, once we did, we were, you know, won a number of games. So this is really the starting point that you go through every year.
Now, just to think about this, the average NFL team, and remember, a lot of these Dallas guys have played together for years, right? Like this, there's a lot of guys that have played together for years. They have some movement on the O-line. The average NFL team in preseason week one averaged 6.5 penalties. Cowboys had three times that. And McCarthy's a veteran coach. So he brought back his coordinator. He's got a lot of the same pieces. And they played backups, but that is a lot. And I would ask you this. Do you think the Cowboys look well coached? Game management, situational football, discipline. Do you think they look well coached? I do not.
Colin, I've worked with you on and off for about 6 years. The phrase you love more than anything is buttoned up. Okay? When you end the season the way they did against San Francisco with those penalties, and then you come out and your first preseason game is this bad, it's not buttoned up at all, is it?
No. And it's not a shot at Dallas, but it's, I will say this, I've been wrong on coaches. I thought Nick Sirianni was going to be a disaster, but when I watch them play, they play with a lot of juice, and they absolutely, when you watch the Philadelphia Eagles play with Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, they have an identity. I always feel they want to get the ball into Jalen Hurts, they want to move the pocket, they want to be aggressive. I feel like that is an identity. I don't know what Dallas does. Is it Pollard who's got more juice? Is it Zeke? Amari, the route runner's gone. A lot of penalties. Game management. What are they? I'm not really sure. I know Micah Parsons is talented. I know CeeDee Lamb is talented. There's a lot of talent in this league. Half of it's undrafted.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Bucky Brooks played, scouted, worked in the NFL, now for Fox Sports. So let's start with Deshaun Watson. I watched the first drive. It was not pretty. What did you make of it?
A couple of things. I felt like, one, he was rusty. When you haven't played for so long, it's hard to kind of recreate the speed of the game and the tempo of the game and the intensity of the game on the practice field. So he was rusty. Two, I feel like when Deshaun Watson walked out, coming on the heels of the apology that was issued earlier and the suspension looming, I felt like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And that naturally happens anyway. When you sign a big contract Sure. like that, you kind of want to go out and prove to everybody, I'm worth all this. So you have that plus the legal stuff and the suspension hanging over. I felt like he was pressing and he was just off. It is rare that an elite athlete can compartmentalize stuff being messy off the field with great play on the field. It's really rare that we've seen people do it. Kobe Bryant was able to do it the year that he was dealing with the trial in Colorado yeah. and still playing. It's just really, really hard to have messes away from the field and then be great on the field. I think it was important for the Browns to put him out there and play because he eventually has to work through that stuff. Yeah. I think the big thing will be how do you approach this week? Because this week technically should be the dress rehearsal for the starters. And since you know that he won't be there, particularly at least right now, the first six games, if you're the Browns, how do you work through that? Do you give him time early, then Jacoby Brissett? Like, what is the priority? To get Deshaun ready or did you get Jacoby Brissett ready? That is what Kevin Stefanski and the staff have to work through because you want both guys to get enough to feel good whenever they're about to play the next game. But I don't know how you manage it with two quarterbacks that are starters.
You know, I was watching Green Bay and San Francisco, and I've said about this. Sean Payton is took more 7th-round, 6th-round, 5th-round offensive picks and made them into stars. People forget Teron Armstead was a 3rd-round pick. Andy Reid has a history of doing that. Shanahan, Elijah Mitchell, 6th-round. Kittle, 5th-round. McVay's done that. The really good offensive coaches, they take later-round guys, and they – fit him in, and they fit him in quickly. And because of that, I think Trey Lance is going to work. Mm-hmm. Is that I don't like his accuracy. Everything's a little high or a little low. He's just, it doesn't look good. But when I look at that, That offense is quarterback friendly, but it's not quarterback centric. I think Trey is going to make it, and I think he's talented. But and I'll get to Jacksonville in a second. I think they figured it out. Former NFL quarterback coach, Evan Engram, upgrade. But I talk a little about Trey Lance. Can you be super successful if you don't throw a pretty ball? You're not accurate. I think he's high and low on stuff.
Oh, absolutely. You can be effective like that. You can be effective if you have different superpowers.
Okay.
What we haven't seen is his ability to run the ball. So there are two things that he adds to this offense that Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do it. One, he's a dynamic athlete who can get you 50 to 75 yards on the ground if he has to. Two, the deep ball. The deep ball was never in play with Jimmy Garoppolo, particularly outside the numbers. So now when you're playing the San Francisco 49ers with Trey Lance, you got to defend the deep portion of the field, and now you have to go 11 on 11 because now you got to defend the running back.
Yeah.
And so 85% of the players in the National Football League are system players.
Right.
The better the system, the better
that's
the player.
Right. That's right.
And so now what Kyle Shanahan will do and what he's done is he's looking at everything that Trey Lance is doing. And he's saying, how do I need to cater my system to put him in the best position to succeed? Because it is a run-dominant team. I only need Trey Lance to make 15 to 22 throws, and a couple of those need to be exploded. If he does that, we'll control the game running the ball because what Kyle Shanahan is, he's patient and he's disciplined with the running game. They'll be fine with Trey Lance. That's why we were bullish on him being an upgrade, bigger, faster, stronger prospect than Jimmy Garoppolo.
So I watched Chicago this week, and they got one receiver I like. The O-line's a bit of a mess. They hired a defensive coach, and I don't have great confidence. Jacksonville, I thought, did it the right way. Let's not only get an offensive coach, but a guy that quarterbacked in this league that knows what Trevor's going through. They get Evan Engram at tight end. I didn't have a problem them drafting ATN, though he got hurt last year, because my takeaway is what Urban was trying to do. Most teams in this league need two good running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went and got Christian Kirk. Whether you like him or not as a one, he's productive. They got another kid from the Raiders. So you do their games. Some of the wise guy talk is this team is the keep your eye out team because the division's a little wonky.
Yes, keep your eye out on the Jacksonville Jaguars because if it clicks, if they win some games early, if they gain a level of confidence, they absolutely can be a very competitive team. I will say this. Doug Peterson and I played together in Green Bay under Mike Holmgren. And so Doug Peterson's centers of influence, Mike Holmgren, Andy Reid, and Don Shula. So he's been around winners. Won two Super Bowls, one as a player, one as a coach. So he has a level of confidence that he knows what he's doing. He knows how to put it in place. When it comes to the quarterback, because he played quarterback, he makes it very easy for the quarterback. When you talk to Trevor Lawrence, Trevor talks about how Doug Peterson talks to him like a teacher, not as a yeller and screamer as a coach. He just gives him little nuggets that allows him to play games better. They have a cooperation, something that Trevor said, I didn't know that you could have that at quarterback, meaning he didn't know that the quarterback could give input in terms of what I like, what I don't like, how we can build it. And so because of that, you have this natural buy-in and trust.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence looked like the number one overall pick Friday night, despite the numbers. He looks like he can be big time. I've always believed that he has a game that is very similar to Justin Herbert. I think Doug Peterson and Mike McCoy and Press Taylor, they'll find a way to get him closer to that level.
So I was saying this, is I didn't really see the it with Kenny Pickett. But if you look at the history of this league, most of the quarterbacks starting are not from Ohio State. Okay, they're not from, you know, LSU. They're from schools where they had to throw guys open, and they got hit. It's hard in this league to be a quarterback. And he had Jordan Addison, great player, but by and large, Pitt is living on three-star recruits. And I watched him the other night, and I got to tell you, Pittsburgh's done a good job through the years of getting backs, tight ends, and receivers. They found another one from the kid from Georgia. He looked really comfortable to me, Bucky.
He is very comfortable. Going all the way back, Bill Parcells used to have a formula when it came to quarterbacks. Guys who were 3.5-year starters, guys who had graduated from college, guys who had enough experience where you could see what they were. Kenny Pickett, you talked about, man, this dude was fifth-year player at Pittsburgh. He's an older player. I heard Jason McIntyre allude to him being 24 years old. Old, mature experience. With experience comes expertise. So the thing that stood out to me, the game didn't look too fast.
No, it didn't.
Easy.
Yep.
Got the completions, took the checkdowns, did those things. So now the thing is, you give him a little more this week. And you see, how does he handle it? Maybe you let him play against the better players. Maybe you switch the rotation so he plays ahead of Mason Rudolph, so he plays against better competition. But if he looks like he can handle it, then you begin to consider, maybe we should start him from week one and just roll with Kenny Pickett, because he was very impressive. He looks like he has a good hold on it. And what you allude to, I want my quarterbacks a little gritty. I want them to have to overcome a little stuff, show some resiliency, bounce back from some tough situations.
His college career, he's going up against Clemson. He doesn't have Clemson athletes.
Yeah.
So, no, and I think you mentioned he's an easy thrower.
Yeah, he's easy.
Yeah.
Look, I would say this. I was not as high because I didn't know what the special stuff was. But in Pittsburgh, that environment, what he has around him, he absolutely can be what we call the pass-first point guard. You just get it out, let the playmakers do the work, and it works. We saw it work this weekend.
17 penalties for the Cowboys.
It's a problem.
11 on offense. I'm sorry, but the way last year ended and what I saw, come on now. The average is 6.
It's a problem.
It is a problem, right?
It is a problem. Marty Schottenheimer won 200 games in the National Football League. Mike McCarthy was on the staff when I played in Kansas City. Marty's number one thing is, before you can win, you have to learn how not to lose. Turnovers, penalties, big plays allowed. You master those categories, you win a ton of games. 17 penalties in a game, it's a problem. 11 of those being offensive penalties with pre-snaps and false starts and all that. No, it's not a disciplined approach. You will not win a ton of games if you have that kind of penalty debt performance. It's something that should be concerning. It's something that has to be corrected. The problem was, had the same issue last year. Either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. They got to fix it. They won't win games doing it.
You can go back to New England, and I know this is boring. You never beat them over the top. They never turned it over. Very few penalties.
That's how you win games.
It is.
You more games are lost than won.
New England never lost games. You could beat them. They never beat themselves.
And what Bill Belichick and others would tell you, most teams can't beat you. Don't give them stuff. Make them go four quarters and prove that they can beat you. If you do that more times than not, you're going to win. The Patriots have mastered that. The Cowboys have to get better in those areas.
Were you as outraged as I was? Baker's already beaten out Darnold. I know that didn't sit well with you.
Here's what I would say. Shocked in 2.5 weeks that Baker has jumped to the front of the line, starts the first game. Absolutely shocked. Even just on appearances, Sam Darnold's been out the entire offseason program. The first game, you at least have to let him start the first game. To me, it's over. I think the thing that was telling was last week when they had the press conference, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Baker talked, and he talked like the guy that just kind of knew. He was the cat that ate the canary. You know, the team and this. Sam was talking about competition. Baker Mayfield knows he's won, and he, by all accounts, has won the job.
All right, Bucky Brooks, great stuff today. Love it.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.